Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the conversation. What the heck's going on? How y'all doing? Thank you so much for tuning on to the conversation. We got an amazing show tonight. I mean, it's like I was talking about with my guest on Wednesday called in. Pardon me. It's like there was a magazine called The Onion, and you can't make this stuff up, you know. But some of it I've known all along, like the WHO, the World Health Organization. Yeah, they're wanting, the Chinese Communist Party is coming and saying, hey, you need to urge the WHO, and they're trying to get everyone behind this so that, and if you're not vaccinated, you can't go nowhere. Except for you can cross the border into the U.S. with who knows what you have. Who's paying for all those Biden medicine shirts? They're like, you know, why aren't they at their country trying to make it better? You know, I'm not leaving my country. I mean, I want to be able to go to the store and buy a steak for $5, not spend $3,000 for a loaf of bread and $50,000 for a steak. I don't want to have $6 a gallon gas. I don't want to be at war, but, you know, we went from Nobel Peace Prize to war again. Yeah, and Trump really was Nobel Peace Prize. He wasn't a Democratic senator that is nominated. You know, I want to get into Senator Tom Tuberville. Fort Pelosi provides black SUVs with Secret Service to Democrat congressmen, not Republicans. They got fences all around Washington, D.C. If it was a legit election, why would you need that? Pardon me. Why would you need that? Then you got, like, Representative Devin Nunes. Biden doesn't have to be compromised by China because they know he's a joke. And I mean, if you don't know that, I mean, Biden hasn't done the State of the Union yet. He hasn't done one press conference in 50 days. Well, he needs his, they can't do those teleprompters. They're trying, how can they get him up there to do a State of the Union address when he can't have a teleprompter to read? Because he'd be a disaster. What am I doing? You know, he's beyond the stages of the debate where they can just put an earpiece in. Democrats got a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. Is that before or after the $28 trillion in debt we already are? I'm just wondering. $86 billion in pension bailouts. 1% is that, if that is going to American people, you know, it's all fun and games, $1.9 trillion. But, I mean, imagine if everybody in 1959 bought a Gibson Les Paul Sunburst and left it in the case untouched. How valuable would they be now? Probably not too valuable because there'd be so many of them. But hey, gee, they're valuable because people played them and they're highly sought after because of the mahogany in them and the electronics in them and the way they were built, and they were all by hand, and every face has a different grain texture. you know, they keep printing money and printing money and printing money and printing money. Eventually, it's going to become worthless. You know, you got Texas Democrat Vincent Gonzalez closes a Bank of China account after Breitbart investigation exposes it. Like, he's magically going to be, like, a great person now. Oh, it's okay, I closed the account. Yeah. Probably closed the account and had China open him one up in a different name. I mean, seriously, I mean, like, do people really... He's a saint now because he closed the account. You know, it's kind of like the lesser of the two evils. Yeah, you got a choice between a douche and a turd sandwich, you know, and that's... I mean, at least some people I talk to get it. They're like, okay, I had a choice between Bush and Gore. Like, that's a choice. That's an option, really. You know, it's nice to see that people on the left, like Eminem, is being censored and shut up. I don't like it because you have freedom of speech, but it's waking Democrats up to, wait a minute here. I thought they only went after conservatives. I thought they only went to... No. Remember John 15:2, it says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more fruit. Think about that as you're going through your day today, and thank you so much for tuning in. What a program. You know, it's just, I mean, it's nice to, I don't want anyone censored. Never. But when you finally have someone on the left get censored, now some Democrats are waking up like, wait a minute here. What? Oh, I thought they only did this for this or that. And, you know, and it's nice to see, because I try to wake people up. I mean, I'm one of those people that I've been very much libertarian-minded my whole life. Libertarian side. So I've been that person like, okay, well, the Republican's going to be better than the Democrat, but they're both going to be wrong. If two people are in a race and they're headed towards New York, who's going to win the race to Los Angeles? If you're going east, how can you get to Los Angeles? Doesn't matter who gets to the Atlantic Ocean first. The goal was to get to L.A. You're going in the wrong direction. And that's the thing. So many people, this Republican and Democrat issue is an illusion of choice. You know, Black Lives Matter was the stupidest name because they're screwing every one of you exactly the same. They don't care about you. As long as they got money in their pocketbooks, they don't care. Yeah, you might get help if you're in the district and that money is going to come help this congressman. It's all kickbacks. That's all it is. You know, when you know people in the pharmaceutical manufacturing realm, they're like, I know what goes into medicines. I mean, they haven't tested this. There ain't no way. I mean, medications I've been a part of making, they've tested for 15 years. This is 7 months. Ain't no way I'm ever taking it. Nope. And okay. And that's coming from pharmaceutical people, so hey. You gotta take what everyone tells you and kinda go from there and see, okay, well, what do you think after all the people tell you what's going on? So, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. How's it going?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
My name's Joe. I called you on Monday.
Yeah.
So, how you been for the last 2 days?
Not too bad, man.
Yeah. Considering. I know Did Biden sign a dozen more executive orders in the last 2 days? Because I haven't heard of it.
Not that I've heard, but, I mean, at last count, it was over 60.
Yeah. I think this is being sped up. I think we're headed, like you and I talked about before, we're headed towards communism, but I don't call it communism. I call it the hand of the Rothschilds who have been doing this for centuries, and now that the technology is here, they're taking advantage of it and speeding things up, and it's going to be horrendous if people don't stand up the right way.
Mm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Was there anything you wanted to talk about specifically tonight?
One thing I wanted to, I remember watching this because like I've watched Alex Jones and stuff for years, and I remember they did a video where George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM was in a hotel room, and they said, okay, and he said, mark my words, they're going to have a New World Order / like Bilderberg group meeting. It's going to be here and right on cue, like Alex Jones said, they're going to set off the fire alarms, and they went through their military style, clearing out that hotel room, going through every bathroom, everything. They finally evicted them, and they go, "What? Well, there's no fire." "Yeah, there is." "Well, show us." And they evicted them, and at the exact same moment, I think it was on the other, like in somewhere else, there was an airport that was secure, and they said they had all these reporters in the secure airplane, and they were going to have Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and all this stuff, and they're like, okay, folks, we're going to have an interview. They have, like, Secret Service and everything around, and then, lo and behold, at that hotel, like, 2 days later, after they evicted everyone from the hotel and cleared it out, you see the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, come in, all these Republicans or Democrats, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and all these people, and like you said, some people call it communism. I call it the Rothschilds. They've been doing this forever, and until they get stopped, like people like him and them and George Soros, ain't nothing going to change.
Yeah, did you notice how when Obama was running for president back in 2008, how Hillary and he were not exactly buddies, and she criticized him soundly. And then all of a sudden, as you've said, and maybe it was on that particular day, Obama and Clinton get into a plane. They were expecting reporters to show up. Or let's say the reporters expected them to show up, but the reporters went to a plane where Hillary and Obama were not. Then Hillary and Obama took off in the plane. Then when they came back down, all of a sudden, Hillary is Obama's right-hand man. She can't praise him high enough to be president of the United States.
Oh, exactly.
You know, I don't think they made a deal. I think she was threatened. For some reason, people think Obama's calling the shots. Obama came out of nowhere. I don't think he's anybody except, like, Soros. I think he's just the puppet, the kind of person that you see in the press in order to hide the real people behind the curtain. But I'd like to know what the hell we're going to do against, you know. Do you know that they're trying, I think in one state, either a law has been passed or a bill has been introduced so that inspectors can go door to door to find out if you've been taking that COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, come on. If that's not an obvious unconstitutional process in order to get us to do what the government wants. I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah, because I know people that manufacture prescriptions, and they say, I know what goes into it. I've seen vaccines made. I've seen pharmaceuticals made. They take years and years of clinical trials and going through. This was just ran through. Either they knew exactly, like, this was already ready way ahead, and they acted like, okay, yeah, we're working on a vaccine, and he goes, I won't go near it.
Nah, not me. Not unless they put a, you know, a gun to my head. But I think we might have discussed it because I know I discussed it with other people that if you want to get on a plane, a train, a bus, if you want to go for an employment interview, if you want to go to the grocery store, supermarket, pretty soon you're going to have to carry around a vaccine passport.
Yep.
And people, you know, people are going to accept it. There was a poll. See if you know about this. There was a poll taken, and it was done in Britain, but I think it might have been done here in the United States as well, where they asked people, would you miss any aspects at all of the shutdown? Because, you know, Abbott, he said that today, Wednesday, that in Texas, the shutdown is over. All businesses can go back to so-called normal. You don't have to wear a mask. So the poll was taken. You know, 36% of the people in Britain said they would miss something about the shutdown. What?
I know. Unless they're that percentage that was making more money not doing anything and they're lazy and sitting on their ass.
Oh, but yeah, they would. Yeah.
I wouldn't. Granted, I'm in a field where, like, we reduced hours, but we never stopped.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I gotta work. I'm someone that I feel bad that my income goes mostly to pay for the free crap that all these liberals want. But it's
right.
Like I want to work.
Right.
I want to have something that I paid for, not like okay, because if someone gives it to you, they can say, "Hey, I want it back."
Precisely. Whatever they give, it's like the Lord giveth the law and the federal government taketh away. So whatever they give to you, you're right. They can just snap it right on back and make rules in the meantime that if you don't want it to be taken away from you, you have to comply.
Yeah.
And those rules will probably be unconstitutional. So I wish there was a way. Did I talk to you about how I figure that the cops, they should be the ones that should really stand up to all of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still feel that way. I feel like that's what we're paying them for. We could stand up, but that's what we're paying the cops for. You stand up. You tell the governors. You tell the attorney generals, no, we're not going to shut down businesses. We're not going to enforce these COVID door-to-door warrantless searches. And the people would be behind them.
Yep.
You know? The election fraud was... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The election fraud surprised the hell out of me. To me, that was the most powerful display of corruption that I've seen in the government. But if the cops... You see, we can't do anything by trying to be elected. Because if we're elected on the local level, like the conservative pundits recommend, it would take years and years and years to have some kind of impact that would affect the majority of the American people. But if we could nullify the power of the crooked legislators and the crooked governors and the crooked congressmen by having the cops say, no, you are wrong. We're not going to enforce what you say. Without the law enforcement on the side of the politicians, the American people win.
Yep. And I think that's why there's this push for this. They're from the people from the very, very top are trying to do this to fund the police movement so that they can get rid of the cops and bring in the military style police so that instead of having all these hundreds of agencies across the United States, everyone that's technically a police is military police and they're controlled by the government. And when the president says, okay, hey, you're going door to door to make sure they have their vaccination, you have to do it.
Well, what I'd be hoping for was that if the cops were to, you know, be hand in hand across the nation, if the Oath Keepers could organize the sheriffs and the police and the state police so that they could stand up, I would feel that the military would be more on their side than on the normal citizen side. In other words, if the citizens stood up and the Pentagon told the military to come on in, they might be a little reluctant, but a false flag, which you know, would be enacted, and it would let and it would make the military think that the citizens are against them, that they're their enemies, and then they would come in with tanks and Humvees and helicopters and squash whatever rebellion would be there. But if the cops were organized, a lot of cops came from the service, came from military police.
Yep.
So I don't think the military would be as eager to shoot them as they would be to shoot us. But we need the military and we need the cops, and if we don't get them, we're Venezuela.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what scares me. What really makes me funny. What's really funny is when you see the videos of these people that are like that. They're basically drones. They don't know what they're doing. They're just walking down with a sign, defund the police, defund the police. They have these signs. They're marching. Like, what am I supposed to be pissed off about today?
Yeah.
They don't know what they...
Yeah.
And then when they get shot at, they're like, where's the cops? Where's the cops?
Oh, yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't want the police, but then when you're getting shot at, you're like, where's the cops?
Where are the cops? Yeah. Call the police. I know. Yeah. It is funny. You're right. They are brainless. They're there because the younger people are there because they just want to join some kind of activity which is engaged in rebellion. You know, it's like all of us when we're in our 20s. We want to be rebels without a cause. So
yep.
Here we go. Oh, all right. Look, Black Lives Matter. Yeah. And then they get all caught up in it. But they don't seem to realize that even if they don't burn down buildings, the ones who are Black Lives Matter, the real... Not infiltrators, but the real Black Lives Matter activists, they're paid to do that. And when they start shooting people, killing people, burning down buildings, everybody else is complicit. And even if you're innocent, you're still part of the Black Lives Matter Antifa movement, and you have to be prosecuted if that ever comes about. I don't know if it ever will.
Yeah. Because they've had that, like, in New York. They had these kids that were out there, and they're like, well, what are you out here to, well, you know, we're against vetting. We can't believe that the President Trump wants to vet these people and all this stuff. And when the guy got down and talked to the brass tacks to these kids about what's going on, well, okay, let's have a party at your house. I'll pay for everything. Food, booze, whatever. Okay. Well, can I see? I don't know who you are. I want to check out to make sure you're safe. So you don't just come and try to rob me. Oh, so you basically want to vet me.
Yeah. Oh,
and then when you got down to it, they were against the very thing they're marching for. Because they had no idea.
Yeah, they don't care about what they're marching for. Well, Black Lives Matter doesn't care because the three founders, they're trained by the former members of the underground Weathermen. And they were Marxist. And they even admitted, I saw the video, that they were Marxist trained. So what do they care about? They care about Engels. They care about Marx. They don't care about capitalism. And this thing about police brutality, which I believe does exist, even if the statistics show that it might be small, it still does exist. But they're not using that as their real foundation. It's not authentic. It's not the authentic motivation. They just want to – I think they're just part of a group that does – sow discord and anarchy and just bring in communism or the Rothschild hand, whatever.
Yep. Yep, it goes all the way back to the Weather Underground. And they're just keeping it going. And they're just getting a new generation that doesn't know anything. It's like, hey, I want to be a rebel without a cause. I don't want to be I just want to be that rebel. Like we all were when we were... When we were 18 and 19 and 20 and couldn't believe, and this is what it is, and they just get swept up in it, and by the time they realize what they've done, whoops, damage is done.
It is. Have you had any discussions with liberals about the January 6th so-called insurrection? Because I have, and they claim that Trump started it, he wanted it, and, you know, it was an insurrection against the Capitol. It was a blow against democracy, and I tell them, as far as I know, very few people there were armed. How could they take over the entire federal government by rushing the Capitol building with the Capitol police allowing them in? Few of them were armed. What would Trump expect them to do? Would he expect those people to all of a sudden capture every single congressman and hold them for ransom? What kind of thought processes go through the minds of liberals?
Oh, I know. Yeah. They don't make sense. Because I've said that same. I'm like, okay, if that was an insurrection, why were they cops moving barricades? If that was a real insurrection, which I'm surprised something like that didn't happen like 20 years ago. Because I'm one of those people that's like, okay, you got to choose between Al Gore and George Bush. They both suck.
Right.
And it's like, here's my point. Okay, the cops let them in. If this was a real insurrection, why are they posing for an Instagram photo?
Yeah.
I said some of those photos look like when you had the 35mm camera that you put on a tripod, and when you spun the dial, you had 5 seconds before the flash went so you could get in front of the camera. And that's supposed to be them trying to take over the government?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
With no arms. They're just supposed to walk in and just say, okay, well, Black Lives Matter. They wouldn't even claim they were Black Lives Matter. They would claim, we are from Trump. We are Ku Klux Klan. We are whatever national socialist group. And they would go inside the offices and hold them for ransom without guns? How stupid do people feel about this insurrection?
Yeah. And I'm like, if a bunch of people came to that rally on January 6th that were Trump supporters that dressed up with Biden shirts and Hillary shirts, would they instantly be magically turned into Democrats? Mm. What makes you think that just because someone's got a Trump hat on that they're instantly a Trump supporter? How do you know they're not Antifa or liberals or someone else in disguise?
Yeah. How do they know, of course, they're not infiltrated? How come, why wouldn't it be a false flag? If you take a look at the classified documents, I don't know if this was in the I believe this may be a rumor or it might be... I think it's a rumor that when Cheney was vice president, what he proposed was to have what was proposed during 1960, I believe, with the CIA Bay of Pigs. What he wanted a plane to fly over Cuba to be shot down, right? I think this is what, my memory isn't quite as strong about, but I think this is what happened. He wanted some sort of false flag, and I believe he wanted a plane to be flying over Cuba from the United States to have it shot down by us, claim that it was done by Cuba so that we could invade Cuba. And I'm not sure if that's part of a declassified document or if that was just an article I read. But from what I've read about Cheney, he absolutely would do something like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy, Kyle. It's crazy. It's nuts. I mean, I don't read mainstream news, but I read Breitbart and I read some of the other conservative news online because they have a more accurate representation about what's going down, and it can be very, very scary. People don't understand what's happening. We American people are nothing more than sheep, actually.
Yep.
And we're headed down that primrose path so fast. I predicted that within 2 years, we would be in such serious shape, if not hyperinflation, the supply chain of meat, dairy products, et cetera, and other kinds of food would be seriously impaired by the government so that the prices would go up, so that people would be starving, and that people would might even cause an insurrection by some people. You know, we're starving here in this community. Where's our food? And there wouldn't be enough food in the pantries to feed them. So,
yeah.
Just yuck.
What I see is And people want to erase history, but what happened in France with the French Revolution? Well, when you had people in France that couldn't eat anything, they were starving, they had nothing, and the French kings and queens were having, okay, we're going to have another filet mignon and lobster tail and 24-karat gold plates and all this, and they're like, they said, enough's enough, and they, that's why you don't have royalty in France anymore, and I think people are starting to see that slowly in America. Well, here I am, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, barely making it, and there's Nancy Pelosi with $1,000 pints of ice cream, her fridge is full, and they're starting to relate in that sense that, hey, we may not have royalty, but the politicians rules for me, not for thee.
Not for thee. No, rules for thee, not for me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about the monarchy in England? Because I was discussing that very briefly with some other acquaintances of mine. And I told them that, in my opinion, the monarchy in England specifically, and probably all monarchies who claim to be royal, they are probably nothing more than just the same caliber of people of Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan. But what they did, instead of just remaining warlords, right, and conquering the land, they decided to make themselves look quote-unquote royal. And after a while, they had kings in England that made people believe that the citizens in England would have to be loyal to the king. Now, I don't know much about the history of the monarchy, so I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
Not much about the, I mean, like more like recent history, but not like, like the foundings of it and stuff. I just never understood how people, like, because they treat them like they're like a god, like, let's sit down. Because, like, they give a big chunk of their income to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the queen gets something, I think, $6 billion a year?
It's ridiculous.
She gets an enormous amount of money for doing nothing, just for having the tradition of being the monarchy. And, of course, a lot of Brits are proud of the fact that there's a monarchy because it makes the little island of England look important. But it's, to me, I believe that everybody, regardless of what country you're born in, everybody has the right to self-determination, and everybody has the right to property rights, and everybody has the right for a vote, as opposed to saying, well, you know what? You were born on my property. Now you're my serf. No, I will pay you rent, maybe, but I'm not going to do your bidding for you. You know, I'll find another place. And who gave these people, the king, King Richard, King George, Queen Mary, etc., who gave them the moral authority or even legal authority to claim that England was theirs, and along with Scotland and Ireland? I think people should think about that.
Exactly.
You know, because I'm a man who loves freedom. Give me freedom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Give me capitalism. I don't think there's a better system on that was ever invented that could use human greed for the benefit of mankind. Because when you have people, instead of marauding and taking property from other people, they settle down and they say, you know what, if I have eggs and they have cattle, I can trade. If I have horses and they have pigs, I can trade. And then they develop from there, from the barter system to a monetary system to commerce. Then what happens? People will, for a profit, they will develop products so that people, other people, customers, can buy them. The customers are satisfied. The entrepreneurs are satisfied, and you grow from there when you increase the cost, the standard of living in a country. So for me, give me capitalism and give me freedom. But we don't have too much of that anymore.
Oh, I know. I'm someone like that. Like, I want to have, like I've actually asked people, okay, you're 23 years old. What do you know about, what socialist country have you lived in that you think it's so wonderful or so great?
Right.
Because you're one of these people, I'm sorry to say this, sir, but you're one of these people And there was a lady, too, that I'm like, okay, you're waiting on the government, the very government, that won't allow you to go to a restaurant, won't allow you to work, won't allow you to go into stores, won't allow you to open up your businesses, won't allow you to go to the movies, won't allow you to make an income. They're shutting you down, but then you're expecting them, you're waiting on them to give you money or food or something. I don't have no food. I can't afford anything. Where's my help? Well, you're asking for help from the same people that are not allowing you to get the help yourself. They're trying to make you, because I feel like when Trump was president, he was getting people less dependent on the government, and this virus has instantly gotten people to where now they're reliant on the government again.
Right. Now, those poor people, they're brainwashed. They don't know any different, I mean, or any better because they're young. So they believe the propaganda. They've been taught in school that the government is there to help them. So if the government, and they believe the government, that's the whole problem. People like myself who are over 50 have had experiences with the government, know about other people's experiences with the government, know about the classified documents that show how corrupted that the government is, has been, and will continue to be. So people like me don't trust the government. You know, it's like what Reagan said, you know, the worst thing you can hear is I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. No, they're there to take away your freedom, centralize it, and become an authoritarian type of institution to rule you. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way, you know, I can't blame the kids. I don't blame people for being brainwashed. That's the purpose of brainwashing, is to cut out their, you know, their reasoning process.
Exactly, and it's just sad because that's what I try to do. I try to come to them with a logical. Okay, how does this make? How does okay take the population of the United States, and you know divide that by four and figure out how many seconds. If Santa Claus stays in a person's house for 1 second, how many years or weeks or months would it take for Santa Claus to go to every person's every home in the U.S., you know, and you'd realize that there's no way in one day he, you know, I try to do logical thinking. How does this make sense? You're expecting help from the very government that's not letting you just earn your own income?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if I had the opposite, because a lot of people, they're aware of government corruption, but not to the extent that I am and you are. If I had, you know, a discussion with people face to face, and if I could, I would direct them, and if they would follow my directions, I would lead them to the National Security Archives, and then pose the question to them: Do you believe that this government is your friend? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. What if I showed you documents by them showing how corrupt they are, they have been, how they, as an experiment, infected Guatemalans with syphilis, how they allowed black people to not get cured or even be knowledgeable about syphilis, for them not, they wouldn't allow them to be aware of syphilis, so they allowed them to die just to test out, as human guinea pigs, what syphilis would do. What if I showed you documents that the government, and not to black people, but to white people also, performed forced sterilization on women up until about 1974. What would you do if I showed you documents that the government was involved with the overthrow of the Shah of Iran, et cetera, et cetera? You know, but sometimes not even that would work. I remember one time I had a discussion with somebody who wanted to debate me about 9/11. I believed it was an inside job. I didn't have any real proof about it, but it was just about connecting the dots. But when he got to the part of telling me that when they picked up that passport, when the planes had crashed into the building, and all that was left, you know, outside of the debris and outside of the steel being shipped to China, where, you know, we couldn't examine it, that a passport that identified one of the so-called hijackers was picked up on the ground, no dust, It was pristine, no burnt edges, and that was possible for the passport to be on the ground. But yet, when the planes exploded, everything else burnt up, but this tissue, but this little 3x5 piece of paper. So when this guy told me that's what he believed, you know, I said, okay. And I wouldn't go on with him anymore with the debate, because if I say that 2 + 2 = 4 and you say no, it equals 5, I know I don't have a shot. You know. You know.
It's like if a black box can't survive, how can a piece of paper?
Yeah. They never did find the black boxes for those planes, did they?
Nope.
No. No. For one of the first times in history, the black box, which is, I think it's made out of titanium, and it's supposed to be indestructible, and it's right there in the center of the footprint, and they can't find it. Well, there was two planes that hit the towers. Weren't there, what was it, two more or three other planes that had gone down?
Mm-hmm.
What was it, two planes or three planes? There was a plane in Kansas, I think. The Pentagon got hit. Was it?
Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania? So it was either two planes or three other. Did they discover the transponders from those planes?
I don't think so. There's just so much about that day that doesn't ever make sense. Like, when the plane hit the Pentagon, I've seen a digital, they did a blueprint of the airplane and said, this is the hole for where the Pentagon came in. And it showed, like, okay, that's about the width of the fuselage of the plane that they said went in there. We're not including the wings and everything.
Right.
And the cameras got magically turned off right around the time that the plane hit the Pentagon. And
yeah. I know. Whatever footage was taken, they didn't want to release it. Okay. The biggest attack on our soil since Pearl Harbor, and you don't want to show the people who the enemy is. Okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
And also, another thing, do you know how long the planes, at least one of the planes were up, both of them were up there before they hit the buildings? One plane was up there for like 35 minutes. You're going to tell me you had a plane that wouldn't answer when the air towers try to contact them, and no jets were sent?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I believe you.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No set up there, nothing to see here.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. But I don't know. What do you think? What do you think the next step would be in Kamala Harris's plans? She's probably the one running the government, not Biden.
There's a lot of people that have speculated, like Matt Gaetz actually has come out, like, well, has the transition already been happening? Because from what I've been told, Joe Biden can't read a teleprompter. That's why they haven't done the State of the Union. That's why he's not doing any press conferences, because he needs those to read a pre-scripted message, and he's so far gone that even putting an earpiece in his ear and telling him what to say verbatim, he's past that stage. So they can't have him in front of for like a State of the Union, because he wouldn't make sense and it would just be a disaster.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. There was a quote that he had done about, I'd say, maybe 4 weeks ago, where he was supposedly joking, but it was probably, as a joke, something which is said in jest is actually true. He said, well, when the time comes, I'll just feign a sickness and step down.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris, she's a piece of work herself, isn't she?
Oh, she is, yeah.
Ooh.
She's a joke and a half. I mean, and like, there's a famous sermon from a black preacher in California, and he goes, they call her Miss Lock Up a Brother in California, because that's what she did.
Yeah.
And you got black people supporting her. I'm like, you realize that she would put people away left and right that were black?
Right. Right. Well, I feel like I monopolized your show. I'm just going to stay quiet now. I'm going to put myself on mute and let you probably have about, you probably have some stuff that you'd like to say to your audience. So I just like to lay back and listen.
Right on, man.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah, he's just great. So it's nice to be around people that get it. Because, like, I was talking to one guy one time and his brother, and this is how far this nation's gone. He's like, you would think this dude won the lottery. And he was like, I got Section 8 housing. I got accepted. That's not, I mean, how, I mean, the bar is so low that you have people that are like, happy that they got Section 8 housing. Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me right now? Yeah. I'm like, I mean, that's not something you want to be proud of, you know? But, like, just go to England. There's a show that's on what is it, on Netflix, and it's called If They Can't Pay, Take It Away. And back 10, 15, 20 years ago, if you couldn't pay for something and you had a high court writ against you and they came to take the item back or whatever, people used to be ashamed. Now, oh, yeah, I get stuff taken all the time. I've had, like, the fifth one this year. No one cares anymore. It's like, oh, well, you know, I buy a car, I can't afford it, and they just, okay, they just take it or whatever. And half the times they can't afford or, and it's just, I mean, this, you can't tell me anybody that was born in the 70s, like me, that's 46 years old, that this nation is the same nation it was in 1980. It has totally, totally changed. You got a $1.9 trillion stimulus package,
right.
And what is it, like 1% of it's coming to the United States for the people, 1% is going to go to you, and where's the other? I mean, when you look at all this money that's going, if we're $28 trillion in debt by the National Debt Clock website, we're $28 trillion, I don't know if that's before or after the $1.9 trillion, but where do we, if we're that far in debt, where are we getting this money to give to all these other countries? Why aren't we helping our own people? I'm sorry, but if someone can afford to put on a Biden let me in shirt, then why aren't they, nothing against these migrants, but why aren't they in their own country trying to make it better? I'm not leaving my country. Sorry, this is my country. I want freedom. I want to have the right to say what I want to. I want to have freedom. I want to have capitalism. See, those people are going, those people are running away from the very country that these liberals are trying to shove down their throats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if socialism was so great, they would be staying in that, on that dirt floor. But these, I don't understand. That's why. And then you get these college kids that are indoctrinated that, oh, socialism's great. You know, Venezuela was doing wonderful until the U.S. got involved. You know, communism's just so great. Yeah, well, then why don't you move to North Korea? You have, like, 4 male haircuts to choose from. There are 6, like, female haircuts to choose from. You'll have only 3 photos in your house, and they're all the dear leader. They better be dusted every day, polished. If a minder comes in, oh, they're all my favorites. Oh, I love the dear leader. Oh, I can't eat today. Oh, who cares? I love the dear leader. If I'm sick as heck and I need medical treatment, I'm only going to get it if the dear leader allows someone from a capitalist country to come in there and treat them. You got to wake up, you 18-year-olds. That, you know, and it's like, if you don't like something, and that's what really gets me. When I grew up, we had like 10 channels on the TV, 12 tops. And you learn to, okay, well, I may not like this, but you learn to adapt to, but you have like 1,500 channels on there, and you have these people that argue with me. If you don't like a program or you don't like something, you can turn it off. And see, there's a thing called a dial, if you or a channel changer, or if you don't like this website, you don't have to agree with me. There's things that you're not going to agree, but if you don't like what I'm hearing, if you don't like what you're hearing or what I'm saying, you can change the channel and say, oh, we got to cancel. If you don't think, if you think Pepe Le Pew is like pushing rape culture, are you kidding me? Well, then, first of all, you need help. But second of all, then don't watch
it. I know. I read the headline. I even saw a GIF where, you know, Pepe Le Pew was, kissing the arm of his proposed paramour. What do you know the story behind that? I mean, I heard that people were saying, ah, he's promoting rape. I didn't do any research on it. What's the story behind that?
From what I've been told is they're saying that since he is kind of, he's pushing the rape culture where he's, the woman may not act, he's like, I know people in the real world that like, they're just friendly like that. They'll come up to you, they'll hug you, they'll do stuff, and it may be uncomfortable to some women, even though that's how he'll do it to anyone. It's not sexual in nature, but when you have Pepe Le Pew and he's kissing this, what if kids get the idea, well, maybe I'm supposed to do that to women. Maybe I'm supposed to, and then they, you know, they get indoctrinated, and they, well, he's, because if it's acceptable for Pepe Le Pew to do this stuff, it's kind of inappropriate now, I guess, even though the number one song is very inappropriate, but, you know, it's pushing, well, let me see here.
This
is
masculinity, right? They're trying to put the blame and trying to divide us by gender. Like, oh, aggressive men. I tell you, I'm older than you. When I was growing up, Pepe Le Pew was not aggressive. When I was growing up, if you were not assertive, okay, I don't want to have people mix up the words and confuse assertive with aggressive. Aggressive means totally without a person saying yes. But if you weren't assertive, women didn't react to you. They didn't like you. As a matter of fact, if you were assertive and they gave too much of a resistance in that time and you backed off, I remember one girl saying to me, what did she say exactly? Oh, yeah, boy, you sure give up easily. Because it's this, when I was growing up, it's stop. Oh, don't do that. Stop, stop. Oh, stop. Over here. Oh, stop. No, stop. And they would tell you about 30,000 times why you're kissing them, why you're taking off their bra. Because they didn't want to give the image of being a slut, you know?
Yeah.
But now, I mean, nowadays, they want you to sign an affidavit that if you kiss her, you really meant it because you don't want to cause emotional distress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just look at Tom and Jerry. Now, I mean, we were smart enough to know that they got killed in the cartoon 10 times. We knew that, okay, that was not real. We wouldn't try. I mean, now, like MacGyver. If you had MacGyver on TV now, you'd have to have a warning at the front of it. Do not attempt these science things that he did, because kids would sit there and try that crap.
Yeah.
We were smart enough to know it was on TV and not real.
I know. Wile E. Coyote, folks, when he falls off the cliff, he's a cartoon character. He does survive. So do not try to play chicky with a cliff. Okay?
Yeah. Well, maybe we should let them try that, and the smart ones will not do it, and the will thin out the herd. If you're dumb enough to run off a cliff that's 500 feet and you think you're going to survive the drop without a parachute,
well, good luck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Then
hey,
the herd, that's
like,
what my dad would say.
How would you, I don't know what you're doing on Saturdays. You're probably busy with your wife. You can't go out that. Well, you might be able to go out. But on Saturdays, I go to a show that's on at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And that show's been around for 16 years. It's a conservative show. So if you have nothing to do, if you want to drop by, you're welcome to.
Sure. What's the name of it?
It's called Beyond the Mainstream. Beyond the Mainstream. I'm not the host. The host of the show is Donnie. But I'll give you the phone number so that, you know, in case you do, if you, you know. He is there from 9 to 11, but if you call before 11, we have gone for 4 hours and 5 hours on that show.
Wow.
Yeah, but you got to call before 11. You call, because, you know, you're a host. If you call after a certain time, you don't get connected. But once you call in, you're connected. You can stay for the length of the entire show and the archive, et cetera. I'll give you the phone number if I remember it offhand. I think it's 646. I think 646-324-3752. Let me check because I have it written down over here. It's either 646 or 347. Let me see. Danny, where are you, Danny? It's 347. Where?
Cool.
Yeah, 347-324. 3752, 347-324-3752.
Got it.
Because then it'd be nice to have, you know, like-minded people. We also allow liberals to come in and speak their mind.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever changed anybody's opinion yet, but, you know, at least we don't, we're not like Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, you're about to close up shop, Kyle, so I'm going to let you go. And hopefully, you know, when you have the time, you can drop by on Saturday, and I'll see you again next week. And
all right,
in the meantime, hey, be safe, okay?
You too, man.
All right, take it easy.
You too. Bye-bye. But, you know, as I was to wrap up, you know, that's where this world is coming to, you know. People need to, okay, think about how much you're getting in a stimulus check and think about what they spent. $1.9 trillion. Do the math. Like I've told people, take 1% of the U.S. population, and that's approximately how many people are going to die from COVID. So if anyone says, well, we're up to this many people, well, 1% of the population will die from COVID. We're not there yet. So, you know, this notion that, like, cultural appropriation and all this BS, like, well, if I celebrate Thanksgiving, then I'm crapping on anyone that died from COVID. Well, what about AIDS and HIV and hepatitis A, B, C, and the flu? If I celebrate Thanksgiving, am I crapping on the people that died from the flu because I'm not social distancing to keep that from spreading? I mean, you know, when will it end? You know, you got the word "the" that they need to ban because it's got the word "he" in it, you know, and that's offensive to women. You know, the female word "she" has the male word "he" in it, so it's kind of I joked this on my show. I said, give me a word, any word, and I'll come up with a way to find out. Give me anything, and I can find a way to make it to where someone could say it's offensive. Maybe not necessarily my view, but, you know, I can find a way to make anything offensive, and that's how this world's coming to, you know. It makes no sense. But Saturdays from 9 to 11, Beyond the Mainstream, I'm going to check it out. So it's good to be with like-minded people that, you know, and I've had liberals on here and you're never going to change their mind, but you just try to wake them up and try to get them to think, you know. But I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation. I really do hope you feel a part of. Thank you all for listening all around the world. And don't forget this, folks. With the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Good night, and God bless you. Goodbye.